good morning. It's good to see everyone here today, and it's great to be in God's house this morning. I'm sure you're like the rest of us. You're enjoying this beautiful weather we've been having, so be hard not to get used to it, that's for sure. We're glad you're here this morning. We're going to ask that you stand with us as we open our service with the hymn, He Lifted Me. So please stand if you're able to stand and join in with us. Welcome everyone to our service this morning. If you're a visitor, special welcome to you this morning. Turn and greet each other as our pastor comes to the stage this morning. Good to see everybody.
Well, hello folks. It's good to see you this morning. We welcome you to our service today. We also welcome those who are with us by Facebook and also YouTube and those listening by way of radio. So we welcome all of you to worship with us today. This is the day that the Lord has made, and the Bible says we will rejoice and be glad in it. So we rejoice in this good day that He has given to us. I will finish up today in the series we've been in. We've been in a series in the book of Philippians, so we're in chapter 4 of Philippians today, and that will be our final message from the book of Philippians. And I'm glad that you joined us today to worship God. May we pray together. Lord, we do thank you for this beautiful day that you've given to us, and we do rejoice in it. We thank you for your goodness to us. God, you're such a good God, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the privilege we have today of worship and just the freedom to be here. Lord, today we pray for the situation in Ukraine. We pray for the safety of the people and military and leaders, and we pray for wisdom in this situation. God, we know that you're in control. We know that you're sovereign, and so we just look to you and we trust you for this situation. I ask today, Lord, that we would open our hearts to you and to your word and to the music as we sing together. Lord, just minister our hearts today, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Just a few announcements. I guess the main one is don't forget to set your clocks back for spring forward. Yeah, don't do as I say. spring forward. So do that Saturday night. And another announcement I want to make note of is the app is our church. We have an app now, so you can go to the app, and we've had it going for a little while, a few weeks, but we want to try everything out first. But it's live now. You can Google Play. You can download it on the Android or smartphone, the App Store. So you can get services on there. You can give online through that. There's sermon notes, digital bulletin, announcements, and all that. So feel free to download that, and you can stay connected that way with our church. Also, a note about spring break. We will not have church on Wednesday, March the 16th, due to spring break. So remember that. All right, next selection of songs we're going to be singing. As our pastor mentioned, his message is the joy of contentment. So these songs that we're going to be singing now all deal with contentment. And I think peace and contentment. And as I picked these songs out this week, I could just see Paul as he's sitting in Philippian jail and feeling the same way that some of these songs represent this morning. So you join in with us as we sing two very familiar songs, "It Is Well With My Soul" and "I'd Rather Have Jesus."
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever thy lot thou hast taught me to sing, it is well. Nail-pierced hand, meant to be the king. Jesus, and wins applause. I'd rather be faithful to His mere cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Think I pray that'd be our prayer this morning. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. We're going to continue with that theme. The song we've introduced it a few weeks ago, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." We're going to ask that you stand with us. If you're able to stand with us as we sing, "The Battle Belongs to You."
Shadows, you win.
through the night reminds me of Paul, and they were singing in the prison, and the doors were flung open, and I told the praise team, we was practicing this one earlier, I said, I could just see Paul singing this song, Christ is enough for me, and hopefully this song will mean that same thing to you this morning, Christ is enough. Heavenly Father, I just pray that we would realize that everything we do need is in you. You are certainly enough and more so. We thank you for the joy of contentment that comes from knowing you in a personal relationship. God, we pray that as we sing your praises this morning, pray that your name was honored and glorified. We pray that you would open our hearts as we receive your word today. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, worship team. Philippians chapter 4 this morning for our scripture reading. You know, those two hymns we sang this morning, I'd Rather Have Jesus, came out of a time of crises for George Beverly Shea when he was seeking real peace and contentment in his life. Of course, you know the story of George Beverly Shea. He sang for many years as the baritone voice, soloist for the Billy Graham Crusade. But before he decided to go with Billy Graham, George Beverly Shea was offered a recording contract with RCA. And he had to make a decision, either go with Billy Graham or sign the contract with RCA. And he decided to go with Billy Graham. And after he made that decision, he sat down and he wrote the words to I Would Rather Have Jesus. So that's the story of that. The song or the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul, came out of great tragedy because the author of that hymn sat down and wrote that hymn when his family were drowned at sea. And after that great tragedy in his life, he wrote the words to It Is Well With My Soul. So I just wanted to share that with you. Today we'll be talking about contentment from Philippians chapter 4. Hey, did you all hear about the holdup that took place in Washington, D.C.? You heard about that? Well, I'm going to tell you about it, okay? This is a joke, okay? Okay. This guy came up, this man, and he pulled a gun on him and said, you know, give me all your money. And this guy said, you can't hold me up. You can't take my money. He said, I'm a U.S. congressman. The guy holding the gun said, well, give me all of my money then. That's just a joke. One of my favorite newspaper columnists was Irma Bombach. Some of you may remember her columns, but she was a very humorous columnist. And she is known for her book, It's Always Greener Over the Septic Tank. And that's what she would always say, you know, it's always greener. The grass is always greener over the septic tank. And basically what she was saying there is, you know, on the surface things look good, but when you get underneath is where all the toxic stuff is. Contentment is something that we all desire. We desire to be happy. I think everyone wants happiness in life, contentment in life, and peace in life. And the thing about the Bible is the Bible gives us the answer for that. It really does. And so Jeff has mentioned this morning a couple of times about Paul when he wrote this letter of Philippians. He was in prison. He was in a Roman prison. But yet in his circumstance, he found contentment. He really did. He found that contentment. As I was preparing for this sermon today, I went back through chapter 4 here, and I was just reminded about how Paul concludes this letter to the church at Philippi. In verse 4, he said, rejoice always. And again, I tell you, rejoice. And we talked about joy and rejoicing. And then in verse 6, he tells them not to worry. Don't be anxious for anything. Then in verse 7, he talked to us about the peace of God, how we can have peace and contentment in life. And then he talked about the God of peace. And so Paul introduced us to the God of peace. And so what I'm saying today is simply this, that the source of our contentment, that the source of our peace, the source of our joy, is in God. That's where it is. We look to Him and we trust Him for the contentment we need. One of the rich and deep words of the Bible is the word contentment. That word is found a lot of times, really, in the New Testament. And the writer of Hebrews tells us that we can be content because He has promised that He would never leave us or forsake us. So contentment is one of those words in the Bible that really captures our attention. Listen to the scripture this morning as I begin in verse 10 of Philippians 4. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. And you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, in whatever state I am, to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek a gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. A man once came to the great philosopher Socrates and asked him about the unhappiness of one of his friends. And Socrates answered this way. He said, the trouble with that man is that he takes himself with him wherever he goes. It seems like that in our world today that so many people are searching for contentment. And I'll have to confess to you that sometimes contentment really does seem something that is very elusive to us. We search for it, we want it, we look for it, and it seems like it's hard to get a hold of at times. When the Apostle Paul was talking about contentment here in the Bible, Paul was not talking about an outward source of circumstance that would guarantee contentment. That's not what he's talking about. This contentment that Paul was talking about here is found in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Jesus is where we find our contentment in life. Charles Kelly define contentment this way. He said, Christian contentment is the God-given ability to be satisfied with the loving provision of God in any and every situation. So what I want to do today is share with you from this passage three truths about contentment. What Paul does here in this closing letter to Philippians in this closing chapter is to give us the secret of contentment. And it's just wonderful how he brings us together. It really is. Paul says, if you want to be content, then I'm going to give you the secret of contentment. And it is a secret worth knowing. So first of all, he says this. The truth that he gives us is that contentment comes because of the overruling providence of God in our life. And that is seen in verse 10. Providence is one of those great teachings in the Bible. It's one of the great doctrines of the Bible. Providence is how God brings things about in your life and my life. Providence says to us that God is in control. Providence gives us the security and the comfort and contentment and the peace that we need in life, knowing that God is in control. God's strength enables us to live in a place where God has placed us. David said it this way in Psalm 23:1. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The providence of God in Psalm 23 leads us beside the still water. The providence of God leads us into the green pasture, because it's by the still water and it's in the green pasture where we find our true contentment in life. Our true satisfaction in life comes through the person of Jesus Christ. Providence is the working of God in advance to arrange circumstance, to really bring about situations for the fulfilling of His purpose in our life. And so we can find contentment in the place that God has put us. We can find contentment in our station in life. We can find contentment in our family. We can find contentment in church. We can find contentment in work. We can find contentment in fun and play because of the providence of God in our life. One of the familiar stories in the Bible that illustrate this truth is in the life of Joseph. If you remember the story of Joseph in the Old Testament, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was taken to Egypt. He spent 20 years in Egypt before he and his brothers were reconciled. And after 20 years, his brothers found out that he was alive, that he was in Egypt through some circumstance that happened. And here's what Joseph said about that. In Genesis 45:5, Joseph said, "God sent me here to preserve your life." In other words, through a bad thing that happened to Joseph, he said, God worked His purpose in this, that the providence of God worked a good thing out of this. In Genesis 15, verse 20, Joseph said this. He said, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." So that is the overruling hand of God that is working in providence and through providence and in providence. And like I said, this is a great truth in the Bible. Now, if you come to the New Testament interpretation of the providence of God is found in a verse in Romans 8:28, where the same writer of Philippians here, Paul, was writing to the Romans. And here's what he said there in Romans 8:28. And this is how he explained the providence of God. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose." Someone said it this way, that life is not a series of accidents, but life is a series of appointments. Paul wasn't saying that everything in life is good, but he was saying this, that in the providence of God, God can bring good out of the bad. Psalm 32:8, here's what the Lord said. He said, "I will guide you with my eye." So that's the providence of God. You know, one of the great stealers of our joy and our contentment is bad circumstance. So bad circumstance has a way of stealing our contentment and stealing our joy. Now look at Paul's circumstance here. He's in prison. He's separated from his friends. There are some things, physical things, that Paul needs. And so this church at Philippi, they're going to help him out with those things. But that's where he was. Warren Wiersbe, great Bible scholar, said this about contentment. He said, "Contentment is not escape from the battle." In other words, contentment is not, you know, an absence from the problems of life, because we all deal with that stuff. "Contentment is not escape from the battle, but rather abiding peace and confidence in the midst of the battle." When the Apostle Paul was giving instruction to his young disciple, Timothy, he wrote these words in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. He said, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these things, we shall be content. There's a second secret to contentment that Paul gives us in chapter 4 here of Philippians, and it's seen in verses 11 through 13. We can have contentment because of the unfailing power of God. Paul was contentment that he possessed. He said, in whatever state I am, in all things. And so Paul said, regardless of circumstance, I can have contentment in all things. Verse 12, he spoke about having learned contentment. Contentment is something that we have to learn. When Paul was saved on the Damascus Road, when his life was changed by Christ, and he made that commitment to be a follower of Christ on that road to Damascus, he didn't automatically have contentment. And that's something we need to understand. Contentment, Paul says, is something he had to learn. And if the great Apostle Paul had to learn contentment, then that's something we're going to have to learn also as believers. We're going to have to learn what contentment is all about. What he learned was this. We sang about it this morning. He learned that Jesus Christ was enough. He learned that his satisfaction could be found in Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:21, Paul said it this way. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For Paul, the secret of his contentment was found in the person of Jesus Christ. For Paul, he summed up in Jesus Christ his reason for being in that verse in 1:21. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He summed up his reason for being in that verse. Verse 13 of Philippians 4, Paul said this. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, what's he talking about there? He's talking about the unfailing power of God. Now, understand this verse. This verse is not saying that I can do anything I want to do. That's not what that verse is saying. That verse is not saying you can be an NFL football player if you're in Christ. It's not saying that you can be a Major League Baseball player if you are in Christ. What it is saying is, if you're in NFL, if you're in NFL, you know, if you're a Major League ball player or whatever, then you can find contentment there. But if you're not at that place, you can find contentment wherever you are. He's saying, I've learned to be content when I receive everything I want, and when I don't receive everything I want, I have still found contentment through Christ. In the highs and lows of life, then that's where contentment is found. Now, a lot of you today are married. And through the years here, the 30 years of being here, I've performed a lot of wedding ceremonies. And in my wedding ceremonies, I still use, you know, some of the traditional vows and stuff. And some of you will remember this, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, and sickness and in hell. Well, you see, that's what Paul's saying here. In any situation in life, I find my strength in the Lord. That's what Paul's saying. In Corinthians, he said it this way. He said, when I am weak, then I am strong. When he came to the end of his resources in life, then he understood that God would give him the strength that he needed to make it. There's physical needs that we have. There's physical resources that we need in life, and Paul needed those also. But he's just saying here, you know, when I get to the end of all that I can do, then I find my strength in Christ. And that's where his strength was. So why is it so important for us to understand the secret of contentment? Because there's a lot of discontentment in our world today. So if contentment is something that is learned, where do we learn contentment? One place we learn contentment is from the Bible. What I'm talking about today, the teaching of the Bible, the stories of the Bible, the examples of the Bible, of all the people we read about that had contentment. But another way that we learn contentment is through the experiences of life. And Paul says that here. When he says, I've learned to be content, the verb there means that he learned to be content through the experiences of life, in the highs and the lows and all those things. Why? Because of the providence of God, because of the power of God. And that's where his contentment was. The great church leader, Augustine, said this. He said, restless is our heart until it comes to rest in thee. So the true source of contentment was in Jesus Christ. You know, God is most glorified in your life and my life when we find our satisfaction in him, not in the circumstances of life. Proverbs 27:20 says this, the eyes of man are never satisfied. Have you come to understand what TV is all about? TV is not about the programs that we watch. TV is all about the commercials. And those commercials, you know, the whole goal of a commercial is to tell us what we need and to make us discontent. Okay, that's the whole purpose of it. And so there's just a lot of discontentment that goes with that. But we find our contentment in Christ. We find it in him. We find our satisfaction in him. And very quickly, there's a third secret to contentment. And that is in the unchanging promise of God. Verse 19, Paul said it this way, that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. And that is his promise. Someone said it this way, I've written this down, that this promise that God has given us, that Paul wrote about here, this promise to them was personal. My God. It was positive. Shall supply. It was pointed. All your need. It was plentiful according to his riches and glory. And it was powerful by Jesus Christ. One of the early bishops in the early church, and I'll close with this, was asked his secret of contentment. And here's how he replied to his secret. It consists in nothing more than making a right use of my eyes. In whatever state I am, I first look up to heaven and remember that my principal business here is to get there. Then I look down upon the earth and call to mind how small a place I shall occupy in it when I die and am buried. I then look around in the world and observe that what multitudes there are who are in many respects more unhappy than myself. Thus I learn where true happiness is placed, where all our cares must end, and what little reason I have to complain. Our contentment is found in the providence of God. It's found in the power of God. And it's found in the promise of God. And Paul said that is the secret of contentment. Let's stand for our time of prayer and invitation. Father, we pray today that we would trust in your providence, in your power, and in your promises. Paul has given us here in these verses today the secret of true contentment. And Lord, we know that our purpose in life is to know you and to glorify you. And that's where contentment is found. It's found in our relationship with you. Lord, help us to realize today that the greatest satisfaction, the greatest contentment, the greatest joy, the greatest peace that we can experience in life is to know you. I pray today for those who need to establish a spiritual base for their life today, for those who need to make that commitment to you today, to open their life to you. May they come during this time of invitation and open their heart and life to you, the source of true contentment. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's sing together, please.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to
Thank you for being here today, and thank you for worshiping with us today. Go this week in the providence of God. Go this week in His power. And go this week in the promises of God. We can put our faith and trust in Him, and when we do that, then that's where we find true contentment. So God bless you, and have a good week.
As we close this morning, we'll remember that promise. God will make a way when it seems to be no way. You close with this song.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be closely to His side, with love and strength for each new day, He will make a way, He will make a way.
Thank you, you're dismissed. Have a good week.